Hey, Mugwarts. Welcome to Wormwood and Witches,
a podcast all about the strange and unusual.
Tally
and Erica invite witches and weirdos from all backgrounds to the conversation of the mystic and divine.
Come fly with us on this journey as we explore ritual, magic, and the peculiar.
Hosted by Anchor, you can find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can also find us on Facebook at Wormwood and Witches Podcast or Instagram at Wormwood and Witches.
Hello.
Hello.
Making sure my microphone is close enough that I'm like about to swallow it right now. I can always tell the episodes where I'm talking too far away from it.
Yeah. So. Okay, so hello, Erica.
Hi, Tally.
Welcome to Wormwood and Witches.
We got to get into witchy woos.
Yeah, do you have one?
Well, I think I would like to say that on behalf of both of us, at least one of our joined witchy woos are that you and I celebrated with our little coven on Saturday, Beltane or Beltana, and had a little fun festival in our backyard. And you made honey cake, which has been delicious for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I made some fucha. And we had an assorted array of accoutrements.
Yeah,
delicious accoutrements.
Yeah.
And people could braid ribbons to make like this weird makeshift maypole with color magic if they wanted to. We made flower crowns. We had a little fire. I will say it wasn't like a fucking full-on fire, like Irish fire festival with like a big ass bonfire, because
you'd probably get
I live in
the
city. Yeah. Like they'd be like, are you trying to light your house on fire?
Yeah.
So there was no jumping over fires or anything, or no burning of the Wicker Man or anything. But we had a little fire pit that people could write on some bay leaves to release some intentions into the air. Our beautiful friend Emma read some tarot cards, and then her awesome friend Hannah, who is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It came in strong with the astrology.
She did.
Like, damn. Ties it all together.
Yeah, so. She did. Everyone's like, do me next. That was funny.
And then I got to meet my new neighbor, or at least the husband, with like my fucking flower crown. I was like, welcome to, there's like, you know, like chanting in the background. And I'm like, welcome to the neighborhood.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
welcome.
Oh, that's, wait, the people behind you?
No, next door. So we have new next door neighbors. So I met the husband.
Okay.
So.
Oh, funny.
I was just like, he's probably thinking, what the fuck is going on? There's like, yeah, chanting music really loud in the backyard. Emma's reading some tarot cards, and I've got a fucking flower crown. At this point, pseudo half drunk. So,
hey, we stayed clothed. So, although in your backyard, true, you know, you should be able to do what you want.
Yeah, if you want to show your titties, show your titties. So, but personally, I feel like my witchy woo is I started my tattoo.
Yes, you did. So, looks cool.
And I'm really excited. Although I'm now like, this is my first color tattoo.
Yeah.
I am now looking at it in the mirror thinking, that's a lot of shading.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shading.
Yeah, all of mine except for the channeled one is, they're all color. But I'm in the sun so much that they fade so badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, of course, getting another one, I probably would want it to be color, but I just know within, I'm even the one on my right shoulder, it didn't take long for the fade, for all the color to go out. So I don't know.
As
Beware.
Reyes told me, I mean, much like just having a tattoo in general, the sun is your enemy. So.
Yeah, and if we're in it, I mean, I like being in the sun. Even wearing long sleeves, you're just, I don't know. I like wearing, I go swimming. I don't know. I put sunblock on, but
She's
I
just
don't always.
naked 90% of the time,
Yeah.
folks, so don't worry.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What's your witchy woo?
Well, my dog's better.
Woo, Tanius, your butt's not leaky. Well, less leaky.
My butt's not leaky. Now he's like between diarrhea, constipated, and everything in between.
Was he giving you side eye right now?
No, he's finally kind of sleeping. But yeah, that was it's just been a long week. I actually, yeah, over the weekend the celebration was really great. And then on Sunday, I volunteered at a flower and herb farm for a few hours, and that was
Oh,
just,
that's right.
yeah, that was nice and therapeutic. So I enjoyed that, even though it was kind of one of those things of you have so much to do, but I really needed to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fill your soul.
Yeah, and it was nice that Oscar's well enough to be left on his own for a few hours. So yeah. So I did that and brought home some cilantro and garlic stalks and what else? I'm trying to remember. And a big fat dahlia. So I planted that sucker. Hopefully she'll
Ooh.
grow. But yeah. So and that's what I did is I planted a row of dahlias. So
I know. I'm like, it's planting season already. I'm very excited. Pseudo. I haven't obviously planted my seedlings because, as most people know in Colorado, you're always going to get burned if you do it before Mother's Day. So, but I at least planted my seeds that are like cold hardy, like lettuces and stuff like that. So.
Nice. Yeah, I need to do that too.
I have so much prep work still, so
I know. I just want to sleep.
it's fair, fair. I think you and I are in the same boat. It was the celebration was awesome, but it was exhausting all at the same time. I think I went to bed at 9.
I'm pretty sure after I dropped Tom off, that I came back and I'm pretty sure I just went straight to bed. I didn't turn on the TV, didn't watch a movie, just nothing.
Like, good night, world.
And I didn't host, so
It's
it's
still exhausting,
a lot of
so
energy.
peopling.
Yeah.
Well, with
Speaking of
that,
people and energies,
we've
trying to
got a
get
really good, hopefully a really good episode for you today. It's gonna be America centric. And
Callie's tired and didn't do her
well,
share.
I feel like your content is gonna juxtapose or
What?
juxtaposition, juxtapose,
Well, you don't
whatever,
even know what
next
I'm
to it.
gonna talk about.
Hopefully really nicely, relatively. Well, we have relatively have talked about it. It's still gonna be a surprise to me, which is always fun and exciting. But today, I again talking about archaeology. I'm gonna talk about witch bottles. Ooh. Always have to do that. So we're talking about witch bottles today. So witch bottles can be used for cursing, if you will, or like anti-magic, like if somebody's trying to curse you. It's like rejection magic almost, and or for protection. And so in the past, witch bottles were made with Bartman jugs or graybeards. So they're kind of this gray stoneware jugs that have this green man-esque face on it, you know, like some old dude with some like leaves around him and looks super magical. These were manufactured actually in Germany in the 16th and 17th century. So we actually know that they come from like Rhineland and the Cologne region of Germany and were imported. And you, it's mostly most witch bottles have been found in England, is where we're talking about. So bottles were filled with spells and contents and then sealed up and placed usually in a chimney or well, more underneath the hearth of the chimney. And it was put there for the fact that it was supposed to attract the witch, with the idea that witches enter through the chimney, kind of like this demented Santa Claus, and were drawn to the contents of the bottle. Usually the bottle was buried upside down. I don't know, like it didn't really illuminate anything. Like all the research that I did didn't suggest there was a reason behind burying the bottle upside down. But again, usually underneath a hearth, sometimes underneath like the entryways to your home, or buried along property boundary lines for protection. So Ralph Merrifield explains in folklore article Witch Bottles and Magical Jugs, which was published in 1955, that sometimes the bottle was then heated in a fire until it exploded, which sounds super fucking dangerous, by the way.
Yeah,
I
it does.
highly suggest that if you decide to make your own witch bottle, do not do that,
And
because you want to keep.
stinky.
I'm like, oh God.
That can't be
So,
good.
yeah, so heated in the fire until it exploded, thus apparently killing the witch and relieving the victim. And if the cork merely pops off the bottle, the witch will escape and the afflicted continues to suffer. So, some also believe that if witch bottles were found before your ailment was kind of came to a close, that the magic would be rendered useless. So, don't let your witch bottles be found. I'm still getting used to this computer being so touchy. So witch bottles were basically a form of folk medicine, which was a common practice in the Middle Ages through the 20th century. So it's also called a form of white magic. And the bottle contents were configured based on either, again, like I had alluded to, the individual was suffering. So this witch bottles kind of came about the fact that people were probably dealing with a lot of UTIs back in the day, and that was that somebody was cursing them or putting this affliction upon them. So this was their way of, again, retaliation against that, so that they could heal themselves and also kind of hold whoever was cursing them accountable.
I have a
So,
question. Why
yes.
UTIs? Just historically speaking, more UTIs or
Yeah, just historically, they were thinking that either sometimes I say UTIs, but like probably a lot of intestinal and other ailments that were mostly common, probably because let's get real, hygiene was
yeah.
not really big thing back then, because the earliest witch bottle, which I'll get into later, they usually date to around the 17th century, so the 1600s. So when we're talking about what people commonly suffered from, I would imagine a lot of oral hygiene was not part of their routine.
Well, sure. That's
And
why when you said
yeah.
UTI specifically, I thought there was something that you found.
No, I just like,
They didn't bathe.
I will say I put that in there, but I
Oh,
can
okay.
imagine that it was a lot of like, yeah,
Just
urinary
ailments,
tract infections,
right.
because people were not clean back then. They didn't apparently learn how to wash themselves until the Europeans came to America and indigenous people are like, you fucking smell, get it
Right.
together.
Right.
So usually you were suffering from an ailment, and or maybe you wanted protection from something, which are very similar to what you have talked about in the past of the amprotopoeic symbols. So finding
The what symbols?
amprotopoeic. I always have to say it super slow. Amprotopoeic symbols.
Whoa, okay. That's funny.
So that offered you protection. But like I said, for example, urine may have been used in a bottle if you were suffering from. So it's like kind of this equation of what are you suffering from? A UTI? Maybe you put urine in your witch bottle. Or again, if you're suffering from like a toothache or something, perhaps you put a human tooth in your witch bottle. So it kind of is like a one-to-one equation in this situation where you're trying to heal yourself from affliction, assuming that somebody has cursed you and a witch specifically has cursed you and has given you this ailment essentially. So again, as I had quickly mentioned, that their earliest witch bottle is thought to originate around the 17th century, so the 1600s, and they're thought to originate from the East Anglia area of England. And the earliest mention of a witch bottle is in Suffolk, England, in the 1681, Joseph Glanvil's Caduceus Triumphus, or the evidence concerning witches and apparition. This was a piece of literature essentially that mentions it, and this is a how-to guide. Or and then there's also a how-to guide in texts such as the Astrological Practice of Physics, published in 1671, that offered a how-to guide for preparing a bottle that might protect its owner from the forces of witchcraft.
Nice.
So they
What
go
a
back
cool
pretty
book.
far. I know. Like I try to look more into them, and they are posted on the internet, which is great. So it just depends on whether or not you got that sweet, sweet JSTOR and other academia credentials to get you the good stuff. And so that's when they date to. So again, 17th century, and the Museum of London Archaeology, or MOLA, MOLA. There's a ceramic archaeologist expert, Nigel Jeffries, kind of explained to the fact that, like, why did witch bottles come about? And they talked about the fact that a lot of people chalk this all up to the fact that, you know, making these bottles, hiding them in very hidden areas, like underneath the hearth or underneath the threshold or on your property boundaries, like places where nobody, you wouldn't want them to find them, but they're around your proximity that you can still gain the effects of the magic.
Yeah, it's not the centerpiece on your kitchen table.
No, because again, we'll get to the good stuff of the contents in a second. But that's like a lot of people chalk it up to standard superstitious practices. But Jeffries, I like the way that he frames it, that quote, "We need to try and understand these bottles as they would have been viewed at the time. A legitimate medically and scientifically grounded cures for particular manifestations of witchcraft. The role that traveling cunning folk," which is like folk medicine, essentially, or white magic, as it's also called, "physicians, astrologers, and the healers of the day played in how the practice was administered, spread, and communicated needs to be better emphasized." So he is part of a project that I'll talk about later that is very cool. But I like the way that he framed it, that A lot of the times I feel like a lot of people are thinking, oh, these people are dumb for doing all this stuff. Like it's just a bunch of shit in a bottle or whatever. What's that actually going to do? Versus thinking, framing it of how people would have viewed it during that day, during that time. Like that maybe medical advances weren't really, helping you
Advanced.
out. And so,
Right.
yeah, they're not really helping you out.
Right.
And
Well, it was a
that
highly
this,
superstitious time, period
yeah.
of time in witchcraft, anyway.
Yes. And so, like, there's the witch trials in London, and later there's the Salem witch trials. So people are very, like, apprehensive about it too, which is another reason why you would probably hide it in your house.
Yeah.
So, while these are more prevalent, witch bottles are more prevalent in Great Britain. So there's been probably around over 200 bottles that have been recovered from buildings, churchyards, riverbanks across Great Britain. Most specimens trace their origins to the 1600s. So just all over, pretty much just all over Europe. So what are in witch bottles? As Tally alluded to, they would probably not smell very nice. So when we think of witch bottles, historically, you want to use contents that are one part of you to give that like bond and strength with your magic and whatever, again, framing it if you are suffering from an ailment, that's maybe what you're going to use. And if you're trying to send this magic back, like make the person who's essentially cursing you of this like ill fate, essentially, or this bad luck, you probably want to make them pay a little bit. So, urine was a common thing. So UTIs, you may use urine. Again, I talked about perhaps if you're suffering from oral health, like a toothache, maybe you have a tooth in there. But usually other contents include your own hair, nail clippings, other personal fluids, which can include spit, blood, menstrual blood, sexual fluids, which is disgusting. And
That's where
then
you draw
to
the line.
dude, oh my God. Fucking sexual fluids are just like one extra thing about the human body that I'm like, why are we so disgusting? Why are we so gross? It grosses me the fuck out. Ugh.
I won't talk about
Well, now I want to know. Like, you're like that elusive Facebook poster. You're just like, I won't talk about what's going on in my life.
There may have been some voodoo ritual and fluids
Ugh.
from a partner. I got deep into some, not me personally, because I don't practice it and I'm not of that culture, but my friend and her, a few of her constituents in that field did some, I don't, it got wild, but that's as far as I'll go with that.
Voodoo and semen. Voodoo and semen. Let's
Yep,
just get real.
pretty much.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on to the other things. So then to afflict the sender of your bad juju is then you would add maybe some iron nails in there.
Yes.
Sometimes people added bones of usually animals and then herbs as
Yeah, but like,
well.
wouldn't you want animals like I don't know, more fierce type. You wouldn't put rabbit bones in there, but you would
No,
put
well,
like
I mean,
more
so
like, I don't know, rattlesnake
potentially,
teeth or something in there. Not that England has rattlesnakes, but
there hasn't been a lot of documentation of specific types of bones or like animal teeth that have been put in there, but there have been one. And it's not from a fierce animal.
oh.
There's a small fowl or probably a partridge, like a partridge in a pear
Yeah,
tree,
I was like, is it,
bone
you took
in one.
the
So,
words out of my mouth.
but there's also herbs and other things. So,
Yeah.
da, da, da.
Do you
So
want to
yeah,
put
so.
rose thorn, like I'm thinking thorns, thorny bushes, things like that?
Yeah, so you can additionally add thorns as well, like from like rose bushes and stuff like that. Or they haven't done again any analysis, but sometimes maybe nightshades or like deadly poisonous plants as well.
Oh, yeah.
But this also includes that there has been rosemary and red wine used in these witch bottles. Like they kind of date a little bit later, but and then pins and needles as well. And the
Right.
bottles apparently were to capture the evil which was impaled on the pins and needles, drowned by the wine and sent away by the rosemary. So
Nice.
I'm sure like different herbs, if you're interested in green witchery. Different herbs equate to different types of either protection or have like different properties that you might use in your witch bottle if you were to ever create a witch bottle. But sometimes seawater or earth, like salts and vinegars, were also used. Sands, stones, knotted threads, feathers. Potentially some shells, flowers, I said salt and vinegar already, oil, coins, or ashes. And it's a similar magical to device compared to lemons and pins charm, which I was like, what the hell
Ooh.
is a lemons and pins charm? And this is a charm that's an old English charm with a lemon stuck with like a variety of different colored pins in them. Kind of, I'm
Like
like,
sewing
like
pins?
a little, it didn't say, but just like that's what I imagine, like little, like where they have like the ball on the
Yeah,
end,
that's what I was
like yeah,
thinking.
the yeah, and so it's like kind of like this like weird like voodoo doll, but with
Right.
lemons.
Huh.
But it's actually not like a negative thing. It's supposed to be a good luck charm and bring prosperity and joy to you. So, and this is dated to 1899 and is described in Leland's Aradia Gospel of the Witches. So that's where that charm comes from. So it's actually fairly new comparatively to the witch bottles, which date, at least over 100 years earlier. So,
Nice.
but yeah, so urine, red wine, iron nails, pins, and needles are. And then hair are all usually the most common things
Yeah.
within witch bottles. And I love that I came across this, that freaking Antiques Roadshow, man. So in 2016, a glass bottle was found buried in the threshold of a man's house that he brought on to Antiques Roadshow, and this was filmed in Cornwall. So leave it. Sounds mean. Leave it to the Brits to then decide that the guy who's like the assessor or whatever, and like is like, oh yeah, I'll tell you all about like whatever you have, was apparently a glass specialist and decided to fucking stick a syringe like past the cork. And extract some of the liquid
No.
in the bottle and put it in a little cup. And, you know, he's like sniffing it and he dabs his freaking finger in there and puts it on his tongue and decides that he has decided that he has assessed it to be either port or wine. And so he took a little sip and was just like, oh, yeah, like it tastes a little rusty, but like, so there may be some nails in there, but I think that this is probably port or wine, like the contents of the bottle.
Why would
And
you
so
do that?
I
Ugh.
don't know. I mean, archaeologists do a lot of dumb things.
Well,
We
yeah. Well,
there's always the test, right, of like whether it's bone or shell that
yeah.
sometimes you'll like if it sticks to your tongue. We're dumb too. I should say that.
Yeah, but that's just
Archaeologists are dumb too.
bone. That's
No.
bone that's
I feel like I've heard people like horror stories though of like fungal infections that
Oh,
come from
really?
that. Yeah.
Ooh,
So
maybe
I
that's
don't know
why
if that
my
was just
lungs
like my
haven't been right.
laboratory teacher like searing the shit
Oh.
out of us to be like, don't fucking do it. Just use your eyeballs.
Eh, you
Usually
can't
you can
always tell.
tell.
Nah, I disagree. Fuck your teacher.
Fighting words, fighting words.
You gotta lick it, man.
Well, he later in 2019 got told what was up. So, in 2019, it's funny. You can find this online that like a reporter like meets back up with them and she's interviewing them about the whole thing. And in Loughborough University, she's just like, so you thought it was port or wine? BT Dubs, it's actually urine with a tiny bit of alcohol and one human hair
Ugh.
with some brass pins that were in there. So
Oof.
congratulations, you just drank like over 100-year-old human urine. So good job on that one.
Ugh.
And
It's really the
they
hair that gets me.
yeah, that's fair. Hair is pretty gross. I can
Yeah.
barely clean out the drain in the
Yeah.
tub.
I
So without being like
Yep. Yep.
but so that bottle dated to the 1840s. And I had talked about Nigel Jeffries. So I had talked about Nigel Jeffries, who's part of MoLA, the Museum of London Archaeology, and they are actually part of a really cool thing called the Witch's Bottles Concealed and Revealed, which is a 3-year project that they're doing right now. It started in 2019, dedicated to analyzing examples held in public and private collections. And the team's goal is to learn more about traditional origins as well as the relationship with beliefs regarding magic and early modern medicine. So they're gonna start basically putting out a PSA saying, hey, if you're, renovating your house and you find these witch bottles, leave it just in situ, like in place. Let us know, and we're gonna come out and we'll document it. And we would like to test the content bottle or the contents of the bottle to see what's in there
Yeah.
and start creating this cool database of where these witch bottles have been found, what their contents are, so that they can kind of begin to build not only this database of like all this information, but begin to analyze it so that way they can figure out, again, like I said, the relationship with all these beliefs and start seeing the patterns among all these witch bottles, because not all of them were in that style bottle that I had originally talked about, the like
The German
yeah
bottles.
the German style bottle, that some of them were, in glass a lot of the time as well, or other jugs. So it was just
Whatever you had.
whatever you had that you could put your urine in and some nails.
Yeah.
So,
You know,
you know.
the huge.
So it's interesting, like I had mentioned, that there's over well over 200 documented bottles in England, but in America there's less than a dozen.
What?
So
Really? I'm kind of
yeah, I was like
surprised by
trying to
that.
research. I was like which bottles in Colorado, just to see if there was anything local or anything. But they're all, of course, all on the East Coast
Yeah.
because, English came and settled over there. So
Yeah.
it makes sense, which is lame for Colorado that we don't have any witch bottles right now, but maybe we need to make some.
We
So,
can make some and plant them in people's yards.
and then in the future, you and I had talked about that too a while ago.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, there's less than a dozen.
Huh. So in the 200 that were found, was that just kind of all over, or was it in more of a specific, like, I know you mentioned one specific area, but I couldn't. What's that?
The like where they originated, where the idea originated from.
Where these bottles came from when they were found, the 200 or so that were found, was
So
that
far,
scattered, or is it just on the east side, south side, you know? Was it more, what word am I looking for? Confined to a specific area or just spread out?
that I do not know because MOLA hasn't published any of their data set yet.
We should
So
ask
there's not
them.
like a map of all the witch bottles that they have found
Okay.
completely. So, but my guess is that since some of it had spread, I believe I've read that it spread over to Ireland as well, that they would at
Right.
least be spread across,
Okay.
England a little bit. Yeah,
Yeah, that makes
I'll
sense.
be interested to see what they find and if they find patterns of, yeah, feel like this is my archaeology brain speaking right now. If there's patterns of specific types of bottles or specific types of contents concentrated in like specific areas, so that way maybe they could figure out, oh, this was more available to, North Englanders or whatever, like at the time,
The
the
contents of it,
versus,
or
yeah, like the
yeah.
versus, South England or something that couldn't maybe readily get their hands on something. So, I'll be curious to see what they find.
Yeah.
But the so I remember reading the number 8 somewhere, but it's less than 12, less than a dozen are in the US. And so archaeologist Marshall Becker was the first to identify an American witch bottle when they were excavating in 1976 on Great Tinicum Island in Delaware County, Pennsylvania. And this is known as the Essington witch bottle. So it was discovered in the structure believed to be the Prinshof, originally the residence of the Swedish governor Johan Prince, who between 1643 and 1653 headed the first colonial government of what is now Pennsylvania. And Prince had been sent out to the New World to basically start creating quote unquote relationships with the Lenape and the Susquehannock, which are two indigenous tribes in Pennsylvania and like the East Coast, and to kind of lead the Swedish traders on the South, now Delaware River. So the Essington bottle is a, so this is how they described it in the notes. A squat piece of glasswork with a bright gold patina over its dark olive color, which has been buried upside down in a small hole. Two objects were deposited under the shoulder of the bottle. And this is where, when you were talking about fierce predators, like the teeth or bones of them, a piece of long, thin bone from some medium-sized bird, possibly a partridge.
Oh.
The very fierce partridge of Pennsylvania, a redware rimmed shirt, but again, archaeology apparently, and a small black glazed bowl. Bottle contains six round-headed pins and had been stoppered tightly with a whittled wooden plug.
That's
Try
hard to
saying
say.
whittled. I was like, damn, this is a tongue twister already.
Right.
So they think that the bottle was manufactured around 1740 and maybe buried somewhere around 1748. So, and may their assumptions were that it was working as a anti-witch charm. So, again, white magic was more commonly, or folk magic was more commonly practiced from the Middle Ages to the 20th century, and actually, Increase Mather, a well-known minister and author who lived during this time, decided to go up against and say and start warning people, don't trust this white magic, don't do any witch bottles. And it came about with there was a whole campaign that he took on along with others, and which kind of led to not like satanic panic, but like
Probably.
or full blown witch trials, but there was a lot of PSAs of against witchcraft and these
Right.
witch bottles and other things. So
Which is,
seeing this.
it's interesting because it was more for protection than practicing witch, you know, there wasn't anything, I don't know, maybe, well, now that I say it out loud, I guess that is kind of their thought is the practice of witchcraft is you're doing all these weird things for protection when all you have
Yeah.
is Jesus.
Yeah, rather than asking God and
Yeah,
whatever,
that makes
but
sense. I was
well, and
confusing
witch bottles
myself for a
too
minute.
do have like a sense of darkness to them, right? So it's to
Yeah,
like
because it could be
send
used
back
for,
that
yeah.
energy to like it's protection against yourself of being like, okay, I want to clear up whatever
Right.
ailment I have, but I'm also want to kill this witch in return for sending this curse upon me, or like this ill will as
Right.
well. So they did, yeah, like have like a sense of darkness to them as well.
Sure.
So that's one example of a like the first known witch bottle that was again excavated in 1976 in the USA. And then another one was actually found that was discovered in a mid-19th to early 20th century slave or tenant site in Dorchester County, Maryland, which had a cork. This witch bottle had a cork stopper and also had pins on the inside. So this was discovered in January of 1983. So preceding construction of a wastewater treatment facility. Woo, go archaeology. I like that this article talked about conducting a phase one and phase two archaeological investigation.
Whoa.
I know it was super technical. Do you wanna, as you as
That's
the
real tough.
archaeologist, wanna explain what phase one and phase two means in a nutshell?
No.
Kelly's not giving me anything, you guys. Basically survey versus excavation. But so this was for the Mid-Atlantic Archaeological Research Inc., MAAR. So they were conducting it and discovered this particular witch bottle at a site called the White Oak Site. So it was probably a bunch of sites along trying to deal with this wastewater treatment plan, which was probably fairly large, and was at a ho tenant house or po again possibly slave quarters, and the wine bot so it was actually made of a wine bottle. The neck was kind of broken off and was recovered from a hearth or chimney at the rear of a brick structure, and the wine bottle was actually interesting because it was an uncommon thing to find in like this like type of structure essentially, which is what I guess probably set their spidey senses off. I have no idea. What's that?
I said sure, yeah.
Oh. And so this the bottleneck had a special significance because when excavated, it contained a portion of a solid stopper in which it had been inserted on both the inside and the outside nickel-plated copper straight pins. So they decided that it was a witch bottle, probably because they're like, who the hell puts like nine pins in a jar? I
Witches.
guess luckily this one was broken, which means that the curse or whatever did not come to fruition, but at least it was broken, so they didn't have to figure out 100-year-old
They didn't have to
urine.
taste it.
Here, quick, inject this syringe in there and taste the contents. Who ever thought that that was a good idea? Nobody. I wonder if somebody he knew egged him on and was like,
I think so.
oh, you $100 if
Some,
you
yeah,
take
there's got
that
to be
content.
more to it than that. I don't know. Weird.
It's pretty straightforward if you look at the YouTube.
Oh, really?
If you, yeah, it's pretty funny. I have it linked if you want to
Oh,
share.
good.
It's funny. And then the last one that's kind of the newest is in 2016, a bottle filled with nails was excavated from a hearth of a Civil War site in Virginia, which again, they labeled it as a witch bottle. So the William and Mary Center for Archaeological Research was digging. They were widening the project near, they were basically helping widen I-64 near Williamsburg. And the excavation crew found a green bottle next to the remains of a hearth built by Union troops between 1862 and 1865. So it was kind of a string of mini fortifications, I guess, created by the Confederates, but later occupied by the federal troops in this area. So, but they ended up finding this bottle with a knot and some iron nails that had corroded into a ball
Oh, wow.
inside. So they're calling that one also a witch bottle, which is kind of interesting for as late as that one is. But yeah, so not very many bottles in America. So what can you do if you want to create a witch bottle? So thinking kind of about all of our research, if you will, in this episode. So thinking if you're suffering from any ailments, but just mostly it has to do with like your personal most you things, I guess, if you want. So if
Your
you want to
sexual
pee,
fluids.
I'm really trying to avoid saying use your blood or use your sexual fluids. But if you want to pee in a jar, women are used to peeing in a cup for going to the
Everything.
OBGYN and everything else. So if you want to go do that, go for it. I'm not going to advocate for blood, to be honest. I'm just like, I know it's a very personal thing and it's like, yeah, like
That's
the
pretty
essence of
personal.
you. But I'm like, that's pretty. That's a lot, and I'm not going to advocate for anybody to be like, yes, let me, slice part of my hand or something, because that's what people always do in the horror films, even though I'm like, that takes fucking forever to like heal. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself. Don't, no harming.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm more of an advocate if you want to do moon water, because I'm more gentle and woo woo. If you want to do, or maybe your own tears, who knows? We're all... Go ahead and do that. That seems a lot more like less invasive.
Piss in a
So,
bottle and bury it in my front yard.
She's out for vengeance, y'all.
Well, I mean, I would still do it just to for general protection and
I would be
that
okay with peeing because peeing is very just
reflection out. Yeah, I would
like
do some
an easy
probably,
thing.
yeah, urine and rosemary and I don't know, maybe some
Yeah.
fingernails.
It,
You know me and my fingernails.
can I can, I'm like, can I call you out on your art project
I'm
that I
proud of
recently
it.
learned?
I'm proud of it.
Do you want to explain what you're proud of? She's not giving me anything, y'all. You might just have to wait.
It was a very heartfelt and very personal Christmas gift to a friend and creative. I had saved up a bunch of fingernail and toenail clippings and painted them and glued them on in various shapes onto like tissue paper on a frame, like a picture frame, and I gave it to a comedian friend of mine, and he absolutely appreciates it and said it was the most disgusting and most amazing thing he's ever received. So,
He said that he called it one of his prized
yeah.
possessions.
I mean,
I can't stop.
if I get famous, you know, he could sell it for millions.
There you go. All your DNA. Is DNA actually wrapped up in toenails?
Probably.
I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume so.
I bet it is.
But yes, you could do urine. I'll advocate for urine if you want. Tears or moon water. I do not advocate for blood, sexual fluids, because that's just nasty.
Do it.
So,
Get your menstrual blood in there.
yeah, I don't know. I guess menstrual, but
I think
like
that would be okay.
if you got a Diva cup, just pour that shit right in there and that's fine. And then you can also look into several different books to see if there's any types of herbs that speak to you based on their properties. So if you want protection, if you want banishing, if you want to go for the full on, like the poisonous plants, just be careful when handling them because some of them are actually really bad news bears. So just be careful when you're constructing your witch bottles.
Yeah.
And then you got to have your iron nails for iron is really good for protection
Yeah.
and also for banishing. So if you want to add those in there, make sure your stopper's really well on there as well, so it doesn't like pop off and then all of a sudden all your contents just pour out because that's
Oof.
really ineffective for a multitude of reasons. So you could do a wax seal on there. You could do sigils. Sigils are really good
Yes,
crafting as well.
I could get a good in there.
You could also write something probably on a piece of paper, like if your spell and stick it in there as well. So if you want to go for the bones and the thorns, by all means. So, and then yeah, just make sure you bury it in whether you would like to bury it underneath your hearth or underneath the threshold of your entryway. That seems like it's a really hard to do thing nowadays. I don't think that that's probably the easiest to after you live in a constructed house. So maybe property line boundaries or front yard is a good one. But
I would
one
think
thing
you
that
could
was,
what
go ahead.
I could see that you could put it in a just like a container and then grow flowers on top if you don't like if you live in an apartment and you can't
Yeah.
bury it, so you could put it in a flower container
That's
and
a good
put it at the
idea.
yeah put it at the bottom, make sure it is sealed correctly.
Yeah,
I mean,
make
that's
sure
what I
that
would do.
puppy's all sealed up real nice and well.
Yeah, I think especially if you're going to grow something up, but I think for people in apartments, that would be a really great way to have that.
That is it. That is a good suggestion. And one thing that I didn't hear suggested on some of the podcasts that I had listened to about witch bottles and other things, but I would think that a new moon would be maybe potentially best, because when you're trying to sow seeds of intent and it's dark, that just makes more sense to me to try and do it around a new moon rather than a full moon, because the phases of the moon actually do kind of correspond to a lot of magical workings and spell crafting and stuff like that. So, but also, I am a big proponent of, if you're not feeling that particular ritual during that particular moon phase, and then it's the wrong moon phase and you feel jazzed about it, go with whenever you're jazzed about it, because we all know that time is precious, and when you're actually excited about doing something and not just tired from work all the time, just go for it. So, but yeah, so feel free to craft your own witch bottle however you see fit, bury it however you see fit, and that's pretty much all I got.
Nice job.
So,
Thanks,
quick,
Erica.
quick and dirty, and on a multitude of levels. So,
Yeah.
I'm still
I wouldn't
getting
say
used
it
to
was
this
super fast.
computer.
It was a good amount of time.
I have 7 pages of notes, but like you and I have talked about, it's like fucking size font 14, so I
Well,
can
yeah.
actually read.
Right.
So,
That's what you gotta do.
and you and I had, you had introduced me to a wonderful podcast called The Mage's Well, which I thoroughly enjoyed their witch bottle
Oh, it was like
episode.
25 minutes of packed information. It was
They
excellent.
are very good at giving the snippets.
Yeah.
So I was really curious about the ones in, because I feel like I mostly enjoy background of like doing the historical background of a lot of these things and knowing if there's something like close to home. So I was really surprised that there was less than a dozen in the US. So
That they've
again, I
found.
know that it makes sense in the back of my mind of, European folks coming over, all landing on the East Coast and stuff. So, but,
Oh,
and
you
the
mean not
US is
anything
fairly
here?
new.
You mean not
So,
anything in Colorado? You're
yeah,
saying.
just more local, but like,
Oh, I wouldn't
but
think
that,
that.
but just in general, that there's less than a dozen in the US, that
Well, that.
there's like eight.
They haven't all been
So,
found yet.
just need to go dig more on the East Coast, I guess.
I bet my aunt and uncle have some on their house, farm, homestead from
Propitea.
1640 something.
Dude, just tell them where to just be like, look under your hearth or the threshold entryway.
Yeah.
Just look under those two areas. So, see if there's
Sure they do.
anything.
I bet they
So,
do.
and if they do, don't taste the contents. Please, God, no.
Do not. Anyway,
Do not.
thanks. This was awesome.
So, it was interesting. It was a good time. Like, I'd known like just general factoids about witch bottles, that they usually had key and nails, but not much anything else.
Oh.
Really hope that the Mola people in London published their witch bottles concealed and revealed data.
We should reach
So
out to them.
just be like, yo, what have you been finding? Give us an update. People want to know.
Yeah.
So
Cool. Well, until next time.
keep pissing in a bottle and hiding it underneath your floor.
That was awesome.
Bye.
Bye.